Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hello, you're listening to the Beer Ladies podcast with your hosts, Tandy, Katie, Christina, and me, Lisa. Our website is beerladiespodcast.com, and you can find us on Twitter, Instagram, Mastodon, Blue Sky, even TikTok, sometimes at Beer Ladies Pod and at Beer Ladies Podcast on Facebook. If you'd like to support the show, you can find our merch store link in any of our bios or check the show notes for this episode. And if you'd like to sponsor an episode, please email us at beerladiespodcast@gmail.com. Now, back to the show. Hello, and welcome back to the Beer Ladies Podcast. I'm Lisa, and I am your host this evening, this morning, this afternoon, whenever you are listening to us. And I have but one co-host today. There's a reason for that, and we'll get to it in a minute. But first, I would like to welcome Katie. Hello, Katie.
Hey, Lisa.
We're very excited to bring you tonight's topic, and we have not one but two very special guests. So we are thrilled to have on Leah and Quiva. So I'll let them each introduce themselves, and then you'll hear what our topic is tonight. So Leah, let's start with you.
Great. Hi, thanks for having me on again. My name is Leah. I work for Whiplash Beer. We're an independent microbrewery based in Ballyferrin in Dublin. I look after marketing, which is quite a broad term, especially in a small business. So I also look after e-com and just our general kind of marketing and content.
Excellent. Thank you. Quila, over to you. I know you're repeat visitors, but we love you guys. So
that's okay. We're just special. Fine. So yes, I'm Quiva, and myself and my family, we have two physical off licenses in Dublin 15, carry out Tyrrellstown, carry out Mulhuddard. And we also run thecrew.ie, which some people might have previously known as thebeerclub.ie. So we're an online craft beer specialist, but we also do wine, spirits, etc. My job, a bit like Leah, is marketing, e-commerce, and a little bit of everything else in between.
All the things. Yes, all the
all
things.
All of the things that are on the internet. That's us.
Yes. Oh, well, welcome back both. So for our listeners who are thinking, oh, maybe they're doing another kick-ass women in the beer industry episode. Well, that is just happenstance. That's who we happen to have. But tonight's topic is actually a little more complicated, because for those of us who live in Ireland, you may have heard, or you may not have heard, that we have this can deposit scheme coming up. But you know, we're going to get into it. And I would say for our international listeners, don't go away if you think, oh, this is some deep cuts local thing. We'd actually love for you to listen and get in touch after and say, oh, here's how we've done similar things where we are, or here's something to avoid, or here's something that really worked. So please do listen in. But before we get into the details of what this all means, and we know that we're going to kind of disclaimer this by saying we know that some of these things are still evolving, still in flux, we're going to do our regular what are you drinking. So Katie, let's start with you.
What am I drinking? I am drinking a Weizenbock from Whitefield Brewery.
Very nice.
There we go. I was so delighted to see a lovely Weizenbock, 7.5%. Ooh, I think we need it to get through the month of Mondays.
That's it. Yeah, before we started, folks, we were saying each week feels like a long week, like they're all Mondays. So yes, post-holiday, it's a lot.
Yeah. So this is brewed in Templemore, County Tipperary. And it is lovely to see the German style beers coming from them. I really, really enjoy it. And it's very tasty. My first time having it.
Definitely. Good shout. Wonderful. Quiva, we'll go to you next. What have you got?
So I have to drive a little bit later on. So I'm on the very exciting local tap water. Highly recommend.
Fair enough.
Excellent.
Fair
vintage. Enough. I am drinking out of my lovely Ballycocavan glass, though, that I got very for good. Helping them a couple of years ago. And I have some two sides at Talith and Wonderland in the fridge for later on.
Oh, very good.
Yeah, so one of my beers for over Christmas was that one. So save that for later.
Excellent, excellent. And yeah, and for those just listening, these are gorgeous Ballycocavan cups. I've got one as well. They're purple. They've got the griffin on them. Just big shout out. We love love the design. Great stuff. And Leah, over to you.
Well, I'm touring the party line tonight. I'm drinking a Body Riddle by Whiplash. It's a 4.5% hazy pale ale. Easy going for the night that's in it.
Exactly. And I myself also have a Whiplash Body Riddle. Shock. But same thing. I was looking for something that was not too crazy on a school night, but wanted to be on brand and definitely wanted to have something that was in a can for reasons we will be discussing. So I'm not sure who wants to lead it off. Maybe someone just wants to sort of start, either Quiva or Leah. Tell us, what is the deposit return scheme? And we'll get into what it means, but just tell us first, what is it?
I might jump in.
Go for it.
The deposit return scheme, or DRS, or DRS, depending on your accent, is an initiative that's coming into play on the 1st of February, which is like a week away from the time of
TikTok.
Recording.
Yes.
Terrifying. And the idea is to minimize discarded bottles, cans, and basically it's forced recycling essentially. But the idea behind it is that certain cans and certain plastic bottles will have a deposit on it, and depending on the size, there'll be a different amount on the deposit. But the idea is that when you pay the deposit up front, you bring it back to either a specialist retailer, or what are being referred to as reverse vending machines, which sound very cool. You pop them in and you'll get like a voucher back that you can either spend in store or use within store to get cash back. So the idea is, the cans and bottles that were plastic bottles that we're using will absolutely 100% get recycled and not end up in canals, ditches, back.
Rippy. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Don't know what you mean. I mean, it's so clean. Yeah. It's so clean by the canal where I am. I've seen whole kegs in the canal. So.
Keeping the shopping trolleys company, right?
Yes.
Exactly, yes. Yeah.
And it's like, we're not the first country to do this, right?
Right.
I've lived in Germany, and even on the cans that we get here, you'll see your one pant, which is the Danish deposit scheme thing. So it's going to be smooth and easy, right? It's going to be...
Absolutely.
For consumers,
it's just going to happen, right? No big deal, right? Or wrong?
I think it depends what end you're coming from. I think for the vast majority of consumers, they're going to, once they know about it, and that might be another topic of conversation here, is the communication around the whole thing. But essentially, you'll pick up your can, you'll see a little logo on it. And if that logo is on it, it means that a deposit has been should be charged when you purchase it. Then when you bring your can back, undamaged, because it needs to be scanned by the reverse machine, which is something people have to unlearn, crushing the can after you have it, which is so satisfying. I think that might be one of the hardest things for people.
You just do it by default.
Totally. And even, for bottles as well, like I usually have big bottles of sparkling water in the house, like squash down immediately to put them in the bin. When you do return
those. Because you want to get more space in your bin, if you want to get more into it, you're so used to compressing everything.
Totally.
So we're going to have to unlearn that behavior for a start.
Yeah, you'll definitely need like a little separate bin or bucket where you keep all your other stuff that you have to take out, like your glass bottles. So when you bring it back, you get your 15 cent back, and you'll either get that back. You can get it back in cash. You get a little receipt. You can get that back in cash, or you can use it against your shop. Say if you bring it back to Tesco or Aldi or Lidl, you could just redeem that against your shop on the day. And to be fair, that's probably what I would be doing. If I'm bringing back 10 cans, I don't want 150 change hanging in my pocket. I don't have any cash in this century. That's probably how I'll redeem it. But I think there's a decently long transition period, which is good. But on the other hand, that might cause confusion because some cans will be due deposits and some won't be due deposits. So I think the comms so far has just been very, if you get the logo, you'll get it back. But hopefully people can understand that.
I think that's a really good point that this is going to be a long transition. But I love, I saw this on a local pub's Instagram. I'm not going to out them because, it's not their fault that they might not have heard until very recently. They posted this only a few days ago from when we're recording this and saying, only learned today by accident secondhand that from Feb 1st, we should be charging our customers 15, 25 cents extra for a can of beer. That they need to apply for a certificate, a lot of different things. And then they're like, this is great, but what do we have to do now in the meantime? So everyone is in principle like, yes, this is a good thing, but the long and short of this is they're going to have to sell out all the cans they've got in the short term. Mm-hmm. So.
Totally. And this is the thing, I've been engaging with Return or DRS for nearly a year now. And we are prepared and we are ready to go. But it did take that year to... Right. Strategize, to do label design, think about how we're going to sell through, how do we manage these labels, how do we manage our barcodes. There were decisions that had to be made in advance that was based on us studying the contract. We're a retailer and a producer as well, which adds some just an extra layer of admin to the whole thing. We've been talking to our customers that sell cans, to check in. We talk to them regularly anyway, but just to, how are you getting on with DRS? And a shocking amount of people are coming back saying, what?
Right.
And you're kind of saying this is a week. And
yeah,
email this week asking when our can return price increase is going through. And that's a very dangerous turn of phrase to be using in this.
Right.
Economic climate.
Yeah, absolutely.
Not a price increase, but that's what it's seen as by them.
Sure.
Now we're doing returns work for them. We're picking up the phone and saying, well, this is actually how it works. Oh, okay, that's fine, that makes sense. But this is quite close to the line to be explained to people what it is.
Yeah, absolutely. and I'm the same. I feel like I found out about this about a year ago at the National Homebrew Competition, just because I was talking to folks in industry who were at that kind of early stage. I think some of the people who had been sort of in consultation about what it could look like, et cetera. And I know, without naming names, I know at least some of the people I spoke to felt that kind of their suggestions, advice maybe had not been taken on board about how to make it a little smoother. But, these things evolve in the way that they will. But I'm curious, Cuiva, to come over to you, how does it differ when you're kind of dealing with so many different suppliers? There must be different levels of understanding, knowledge.
There is a lot of confusion, not because it's not because you people aren't understanding. It's just that everyone seems to slightly interpret things slightly differently. Sure. And everyone will do things on kind of their own time frame and stuff. So Leah mentioned a transition period. So what that means, so come the 1st of February, I'll explain this properly in a second, but come the 1st of February, any aluminium or stainless steel can between 150 mils to 500 mils will have a 15 cent deposit on it. Cans bigger than 500 mil up to 3 liters will have a 25 cent cans or bottles up to 500 mil or 501 mil say to 3 liters will be 25 cents. Katie's German beer there will be safe, but our cans won't be. For most of us that we all work in the beer industry, but this doesn't just apply to beer. It does apply to all drinks containers, except for anything that contains yogurt or dairy products.
That does include things like canned coffee is exempt, whey-based protein shakes are exempt.
Hurrah!
Yeah.
Interesting.
It It is interesting.
That's, fascinating. Well, because those things can be quite spendy. So, wow. Okay.
Oh, thank you for that. No, I just thought it was like yogurt eat stuff.
Yeah, so someone is obviously doing a bit of lobbying there in the whole fitness stuff. Yeah.
It's not for me to say.
Okay. I'll say it.
Yeah. So I just assumed it was because the issue with the like smell and, you know, the spoiling and, but maybe, I don't know, maybe my misunderstanding of it. Interesting. But yeah, sorry. So if you were to go into small supplier or small retailers, you go into your small retailer today, you pick up a can of Whiplash, or say, for example, I'm going to pick an international one. So like Sierra Nevada Pale Ale in a can. I don't know if Whiplash have the logo on it yet, but if you pick it up today, there's like, you know, today, the 24th of January, there's no deposit on it. Come a week from now, there will be a deposit on it. So what that means for the retailer is that their point of sale system, or POS, has to ensure that that product has like been activated. To make sure that your point of sale provider has finished the upgrade to do that, to allow deposits to be put on that aren't taxed. Then it has to be activated, and that's generally barcode based. And then you have to ensure that your SEL, or your shelf edge labels, you know, the little things that tell you, you know, how much something is, they have to state how much the deposit is, and that the deposit is separate. And then you have to ensure that the receipt process has a very separate line stating, you know, like if you've bought, I don't know, if you're having a party and you buy a couple of slabs, there'll be a separate line that says you potentially spent €15 on a deposit, depending on how many slabs you purchased. So kind of all of those bits have and are still frantically being managed. Leah, I imagine at this stage, a lot of the stuff going out to customers like ourselves, do they have the logo on them, or is that kind of still working through the next little while?
Still working through. So we have until the 15th of March to sell that product through to a distributor. And the distributor, they can sell it through, but the retailer has until the 1st of June to sell it. Have 9 to 12 shelf life, you know, people might not be purchasing anything.
Yeah, there's a little bit of
2 months, even though the beer is fresh after 2 months still,
right.
You might go, oh, that's a bit close to the line, whatever. Challenge.
This is one of the things that has me most confused. There is an for retailers, there is what is being referred to as an international barcode list. And there's about 3,000 products on it. Now, some of those things won't just be alcohol. And it's just more of it's managed kind of by return. And these are a lot of products that potentially retailers will have in stock, say like your Sierra Nevada Pale Ale, or your something from Michelin or Tool or something like that. And the idea is that the barcode is registered, so that come the 1st of February, the retailer can charge the deposit, but the logo won't be on it yet because the stock hasn't come through. Come 1st of February, as a retailer, we have to go through that list and inform return how many of each of those products we have, so they can charge us the 15 or 25 cent per item, so that then we charge it to the customer, so then it then goes back down the chain, which is a little bit confusing.
Yes, a little bit. And then I feel like Katie, you and I are probably also both kind of geeking out on this from like a data architecture perspective and how that's happening behind the scenes. But at the same time, I'm glad I don't have to do it.
So can I ask, so all of the international cans that don't have a logo, and I don't know if they're ever going to have a logo.
They will have to.
They will have to eventually. Okay.
Yeah.
So they won't have a logo, but from the 1st of February, they will be charged the deposit.
They should be if they're registered.
Should be.
Yeah.
If they're registered.
And they're only on the list if they are registered.
Yes, exactly. Okay.
So, and if you're you think not of on... the Sorry, go on.
No. And if you're not on the list,
you're not coming in.
And you have stock, so someone has it sitting on their shelf on the 1st of February and it doesn't have the logo, does the consumer still get charged a deposit, or is it only then, if it's not on the list, is it only cans with the logo, or is it all cans?
So if it's not on, so this is particular to international barcodes.
Yeah.
So if it's not on the list, it's not a registered product. If it's a national barcode, so just say domestic, so it's a product, and this could be Coke or whoever who have a specific right. barcode for Ireland, they obviously are able to manage multiple barcodes unlike the rest of us. If that product is still on shelf, it won't charge you a deposit and you won't be due a deposit back. And that's why the barcodes are actually so important, because with or without a logo, the logo actually doesn't matter to the machine. It's more a consumer identifier.
Right.
What okay. the machine and what the retailers are looking for is the barcode match. So you should not be assuming, again, like creepy, if the POS systems are up to date and all yes. the barcodes that have been registered have been pulled through on the retailer side, you'll only be charged a deposit on registered products that are due okay. to be charged. So you shouldn't be charged accidentally.
Mm-hmm. Right.
There's the potential that will happen. just because any of us, you know, do anything with technology doesn't always go to plan. And my understanding is that products like that, by the 31st of May or kind of 1st of June, that they will know, those products will no longer be considered to be, I'm sorry, I'm putting this in air quotes because I don't know right. if it's technically the correct term, but like they won't be considered legal to be sold in Ireland, in the Republic of Ireland.
Yeah.
But yes, so that's why there is kind of this transition period, but it is quite confusing. And yes, I think everyone is trying to do their best to make sure they do the correct products and stuff. So
yeah, I think everyone is trying to do their best. So, like, we fully believe in the system because it has to work. Like,
yeah, exactly.
It's needed. It's been badly needed for a long time. But I think on the consumer side, like, they have lots to learn. It'll be not crushing their can or bringing it back and getting a new bin, whatever. But what's not been kind of seen is like the back end work, like that people like we've been doing, and like
absolutely
highlighting contracts over and over again to be like, does this actually make sense? Like, it's some of it is not as fine as you would like it to be. And like, there's stipulations in there that as a small business, like, we're just absolutely not happy with, but it's a mandatory scheme. So that's kind of the end of that.
And it's just like everything has just gone up in price. You know, Ireland is lagging behind the rest of Europe when it comes to reducing energy prices. And now they've introduced this scheme for a lot of very small producers don't have their own canning line.
Right.
They have to get somebody in to do it for them and their labels. And I just think the cost of that must be... You can't have something on a file anymore. You have to do you have to get registered? Your barcode has to be registered, obviously, so that the machine can give you back the money.
Lee is probably the best person to talk about being a registered barcode person. Although that's not the term, but yeah.
I am the registered barcode person.
Yeah. Barcode
everyone
person.
At work, yeah. Like, anytime they come over to have a scowl on my face, they're like, oh, what now? I'm like, DRS. So you have to register your products. That's fine. For us, we're kind of known. One time last year, I think we had 8 new beers in a month. Like, that's a very silly amount of new products to have out. But like, that's what our business is built on. And that's what craft beer is built on. That's what the crew is built on. It's that variety, right? It's taking 6 weeks to register a barcode.
Oh, wow.
Which is a long time when we can discuss MPD, order materials, and have a beer out in 4 weeks. If we really want to, then we try not to do that. That's a terrible way to work.
I'm very stressful to do that.
Yes.
But we can do that. So, like, 6 weeks in advance, I need to know the barcode and the name and the ABV of the beer. which again is not impossible, but the system actually doesn't let you upload the new product unless you put in the product launch date as exactly 6 weeks or more from that date. You really need to be on top of this. So you could end up, if you register something late, that you have to hold the stock because your distributor won't take it or a retailer won't take it. Like, and this is all stuff that will become part of the day-to-day as we go on. But it is, it's more work. Like, we have a team of 10 and 8 of them are production. So it's just 2 of us trying to manage this along with everything else in the business.
I would assume too, and this is so, please correct me if I'm wrong here, but I would think that means if you have something, if you want to do kind of a one-off for something or other, it's probably better to just keg that and send it to the pubs versus trying to can that and get that all kind of through the system. There's a break-even point where it makes sense, but I wonder.
On this point, I'll definitely give a shout out to the ICBI and Elizabeth Ryan, who did amazing work lobbying on this. We're not a member, but I spoke with her about it a lot. The original plan was €100 per barcode registration.
Oh, wow.
Which is fine if you make 3 products.
Sure, right.
Like we were saying, like 4 to 6 a month. They lobbied, that came down to €50 a month. That's completely gone now. We have a flat registration fee of €500 up to 750,000 units a year.
Okay.
So once you surpass that, sense. You pay a higher fee. That would be an enormous cost of business for us. By adding, if that was still happening, the €100 plus the 1 cent per can placed on the market, plus the money we have to wait to get back when we charge a distributor the 15 cent, like it was adding about €120 onto every pallet that we sell.
Oh, wow. And that's not an insignificant sum.
1 cent and 15 cent doesn't sound like a lot, but if you're putting out, it's like 90 slabs on a pallet, like that's a lot of 1 cent. There's a lot of invoicing to be done and reporting, and again, like I was saying, like that will become standard for us, and when we do our monthly revenue reporting, that'll be just another thing that we do. But like, say if we charge, so we have to charge our distributor the 15 cent per can on a separate line item, as Cooper mentioned, which is a whole other pain for all the invoicing systems we use to make sure that they all work. So we might have 30 to 45 day payment terms, right? So that money's not coming back to us for 30 to 45 days.
Right.
This could be any business, right? Then the distributor will sell it to the retailer. They might have 60 day payment terms.
Sure. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we don't package, sell, and invoice on the same day. So we might package on Monday, tell them that it's ready on Tuesday, get picked up on Wednesday, invoice it out on Thursday. So, right, you're already 4 days in, so you have 45 more days to wait to get that money back. They might hold the stock for 2 to 3 weeks because carry out has loads of rollover and they want to wait. So they're holding on to a little bit of stock. That could be there 3, 4, 5 weeks. So that money's not coming back into them, but in the meantime, they've had to pay us. So, like, people are going to be out money. They get it back, but, like, we're not talking about massive cash-heavy businesses here. Like, small businesses run by small teams. You have to wait for that money to come back. It will be a challenge. Even like on our web shop, like I'm speaking to a developer Friday to finalize how our receipts will look to add in that line item. Like that's another cost for us. That will be a monthly fee to that person. They want us to print the return barcode or the QR code on the receipts. We don't print receipts. We're an online business.
Right.
We email receipts, so that's not going to happen either.
Yeah.
I mean, we'll have a web page on our website to say when you can return, but there's a lot of admin going on in the background and monthly reporting and forecasting.
That's a lot. And that's a good sort of question buried in that answer too, which is if you are ordering online, where do you return? How does that work?
I think as you mentioned earlier, Lisa, like if anyone has been doing their big shop, whether it be Aldi, Lidl, Dunnes, Tesco, Supervalue, wherever, you've probably seen the machines kind of like been hidden in behind, like I think plants recently. They're the reverse vending machines. So some retailers, so technically every retailer that sells what is referred to as in-scope products. Mm. So in-scope products means that the relevant can or plastic bottles that fit kind of the sizes. So anyone who sells those products has to either accept them back in kind of in-store or through the reverse vending machine, unless they're under a certain size, which I think off the top of my head is 250 square meters or 240 square meters. And anyone under that size can apply for an exemption.
Okay.
So we, as a kind of a small retailer, we applied for an exemption. So, you know, if you can return them in any store, except if you go into, say, your corner shop and you've picked up, you know, a can of Coke or whatever, as long as that retailer tells you where you can return it, that's all within kind of the guidelines and the rules. So our web stores we any of us could be sending beer to kind of anywhere.
Absolutely.
Yeah, like we'd be sending it to Cork. But I think in that instance, it would be maybe linking to I think there is a plan for kind of an interactive map where you can locate places to return it. But as long as we're telling people where they can return it, that's where we're covered that way. But in our physical stores, it will be, you know, next door or across the road or, you know, wherever it is. But yes, so a little bit stressful to make sure all that's covered.
Absolutely.
And also it's a little bit confusing because, you know, if you guys pop into us every now and then, and you know, if you know, but we all shop in our local stores, whether it's for Coke or for beer, and it would be lovely to be able to, you know, when you're going back in to pick up, you know, your beers for the weekend, like, I'll be cool, I'll just, you know, pop them in the machine and get my money back and use it in store. I don't know if that's gonna happen that way, because you know, we'll probably all just bring it back to our Aldi and Lidl's, but we'll see how that goes.
Right. Yeah, because I guess that, you know, I was thinking, because I saw the machines going in first at like my Lidl, and I was thinking, well, do I have to now start hauling cans up here that now go into my recycling bin? But, yes, you know, like for my glass bottles, I have to take them the kilometer and a half up to, you know, my closest, you know, sort of bring station. But, you know, but now I will have a, you know, like the Lidl will have the, you know, the can return. So I'm like, ooh, so now I need like another bin in my kitchen in addition to like, you know, the other bin. But
and
yeah,
hopefully not get crushed while they're in the bin.
And not get crushed. Yeah. So that's, yeah, there's a lot
that's
to think about.
That's going to be the biggest
challenge. Yeah.
And I'm going to say, Lisa lived car free.
Okay? Exactly. So yeah. So
this is a big thing.
Yeah. This is a big thing. We're trying to.
Yeah. For us in the city, it's like we are carrying, like, you know, so you can do some, like, you know, strength building while you're out there. I mean, when we do take our bottles back, like, it's a significant effort.
Right.
Like, yeah. So it's kind of, at least the cans aren't as heavy, but, you know.
Yeah,
but it is still it's a good point. Like for those of us without cars, it's, you know, it's not nothing to be taking them somewhere when at the moment our cans just go in our recycling bin and the nice man comes and picks them up of a Wednesday. So
or woman or non-binary person
could be
your bin person.
The good
true ours happens to be male, but yes, good point.
just saying.
I've seen so many. I actually read an article recently on I won't say it wasn't like the paper of record, but it was an interview with a publican that went on this website that gets probably a million users a month, like saying all these things about the scheme that actually weren't true.
Right.
Because I'm like, you've not bothered to read the guidelines. Whoever wrote it hasn't read them. The editor hasn't read them, and they've just published this absolute trash. Which
no fact checking. Yeah,
people get so confused. It was about a publican saying that if they sell a vodka Red Bull to someone over the counter, that they have to like look after the can or give it to the person they take it home. And it's like pubs don't have to charge it; they're exempt.
Right.
That article is actually zero.
Oh God.
There is an interesting one though. The pubs and cafes, whatever they buy, they will be charged by their wholesaler.
Okay, interesting.
What they purchase. Yeah. And it is, the onus is on the hospitality business to decide how they get their money back.
Oh. So
they're either going to charge the...
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Everyone knows therapy is great for solving problems, but getting therapy has its own problems too, like finding the right therapist, fitting into their schedule, and of course, the cost. Well, BetterHelp can solve those problems. It's totally online and built around your schedule. It's surprisingly affordable too. Connect with a credentialed therapist by phone, video, or online chat, all from the comfort of your home. Visit BetterHelp.com to learn more and save 10% on your first month. That's BetterHelp, H-E-L-P.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do it. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Consume an extra 15 cents and keep recycling them whatever way they normally do, which is not the point of the scheme.
Right.
No.
Or they're going to keep them and go once a week. And if you get stuck behind pub owner at Tesco car park, putting in 500 Red Bulls after a busy weekend, like, that's going to happen.
I can see a lot of transition year students getting 2 week work experience where they're sent
just
to
putting cans.
Right, here you go.
Totally. And I'm sure some entrepreneur will get a little van and offer this service to cafes around town. But like, if you think of like kind of, you know, like kind of quick service restaurants who might only do like cans of soft drinks and cans of beer.
Yeah.
How many are they doing a weekend? Like thousands? Where are they putting
they
them? Probably in the recycling bin where they put them before. And they'll just charge you the 15 cent.
Yeah.
It's just, it's caused a lot of confusion because they are exempt, but they still need to register to be exempt.
Right.
So they need to know about the scheme, one, and two, understand it, and three, make a decision on how this will actually work for them.
Oh, gosh.
If you purchase something on site as a consumer to drink on site, because the can isn't leaving the building, it stays there. There's no 15 cent charge. But if
okay,
you
so if
get
we go into Underdog and have a can of rollover,
yeah,
we can no just charge. Say, Paddy, you're talking shite.
Yeah, go read the hospitality guidelines.
Go read the hospitality guidelines. Okay, okay, that's yeah. good to know. That's
we'll set Lee on them.
Yeah. Oh, that's funny.
But this is like an awful lot of work for people in Ireland. And I suppose Caoimhe, you're a distributor for a lot of breweries that are not based in Ireland. And how are they, have you been impacted by, have they been impacted by this? Has your range been impacted or what do you see happening?
Yes. So without naming the distributors. Oh, sorry, I've accidentally pulled up WhatsApp. That was not what I meant to do. yes, so we there's a couple of retailers that have done their very best to engage with some of their international brands. Some of them, so some of the international breweries are like, yeah, cool, no problem. We'll like, no, we'll add it to our label, no bother. Like Whiplash, they're like, yeah, grand. I know you guys had to do it anyway, but you know, it's like, yeah, grand, not a bother, we'll do it.
We are and using other... the same barcodes for every market now though as well. We're too small to handle more than one.
Oh, sure. Either.
And you know what, that just makes your life easier. Yeah, it's like, no, grand. Yeah, no, too much work. No. So most breweries were like, yeah, cool, not a problem, no bother. But some of them were like, nah, look, you guys are too small. Sorry about you. So there is definitely an impact for the suppliers and us as a retailer, and then, you know, us as consumers. So there's a couple of them. So I think Beavertown, I think they have whatever Beavertown you see left on the shelves, if that's your jam, pick it up because they won't be coming back. They're Brooklyn. I don't know if they're going to do the bottles still or what their plan is, but the cans are done. Sierra Nevada is safe, nobody panic. But there will be a couple of a little bit more unusual ones, things like Elche Brewing from the Netherlands, Popple from Denmark. I think that they're going to finish up again because the supplier has only taken in, you know, maybe like a palette, or like a mixed palette of from that brewery. And if they wanted to, the supplier could relabel them, but like, could you imagine having to do that by hand?
Oh god.
No, I did some stickering for when the Dutch thing came in. We had some leftover labels from a previous run that didn't have the icon on them. I was like, oh, thank you, let them go to waste. It is not a fun job.
No.
This is where you need to get your transition, your student or an intern.
That is true.
You
know? Totally. Yeah. But like
if
an importer was offering to sticker them, like they're going to charge the brewery for it. Like there's no way that they could do it for free. Like it's an annoying job and people need to be paid to do it, you know? And it's time consuming. If like open every case and repack them, come on.
Oh, and that's, they're one of the suppliers. It is probably one of the biggest importers of I might get this incorrect because so they bring in Tisky, Lek and Zubra. I don't know if you guys are familiar with them.
Cans scattered all over my they're all over my footpath of a morning, you know.
And I'm not judging anyone for drinking the beer, and I was just about to say something that sounded really judgy. If you guys or the listeners don't purchase that beer, those beers are typically in like come in a 4-pack, but it's the plastic wrap,4-pack. So at one point the poor distributor was like, we're gonna have to unwrap these 4-packs to relabel them if the brewery won't do it. And then so I think Zubra and Lek are fine. They said, yeah, we'll relabel them for you, so you don't need to do anything crazy. But Tisky were like, no, you guys are too small. And I'm sure it was much nicer than that. So so that's one like massive brand.
That's huge.
That won't be arriving. And then there's another very, very small distributor who kind of brings in some really, really like cool and unusual things from Germany and and Poland and like Slovakia and, you know, kind of those really small bits and pieces. A lot of the breweries that he works with, the product goes into both bottle and can, which is handy. So he's probably not going to bring the can in, but he might bring the bottle in. But that means that, say, you can fit 100 cases of cans on a pallet, you might only actually be able to have 70 cases of bottles on it. So that means that potentially the expense of some of those beers coming in that maybe we love or dying to get our hands on are going to be more expensive because of those kind of factors. And I know it sounds like we're having a big moan, but it's just one of those things that as a consumer you're like, oh, that's gotten a bit more expensive. That's potentially why, just those things have kind of changed a little bit.
No, that makes complete sense. And certainly I know, like for me, like if I can get it in a can versus a bottle, I'm going to, just because it takes up less space in my fridge, which is you know, certainly finite. But
and also like if you don't drive as well, and you don't run the risk of like them smashing, as someone who is always heartbroken, like, you know, myself and Lee are probably like obsessed with cardboard and how well cardboard does and everything.
Oh yeah.
And how well it can be thrown down the stairs and that kind of thing. Drop from a height, say from a DPD truck. No, accidents happen. Bottles are delicate. So, you know, if you're chucking them into your backpack and you forget it's in there, I must mention, anyway, but yeah, there's all these other factors that why we prefer cans. And
cans are better for the environment broadly as well, because like you were saying, the cost to ship the final product, you get less than a pallet, but the cost to ship empty is it's extremely heavy. You get less than a pallet. It's better for the beer, especially if you're drinking our kind of hoppy hazy stuff. Our beer will never be in bottles. Dark beer, sure. Barrel aged stuff, absolutely. Sometimes they do well with a little bit of air getting in over time, but it's better for the beer. And like people are making choices for their business based on not wanting to engage with this program, but their actual end product might suffer. I get it for a transition. Maybe they want to wait. They'll just, all the beer they've scheduled, they'll just put it in bottles, and then first of June it'll all be cans. Fine. But like it's a big decision to make to revert to what many would see as a lesser packaging to avoid a scheme that's overly complicated.
Yeah, absolutely. Because I think you're absolutely right. I know there are some folks out there who, at least in the short term, have gone to bottles until they can know that the cans are going to be labeled correctly and they can get that up and running. That makes sense. Yeah, 100%. And I know there's probably more people than people think or have been affected by that or have maybe gone that route just from a financial perspective. They had to get, you know, product out and, you know, during this interim phase, and then they'll probably go back to cans once it's, you know, feasible to do so, and they can be sure that all that stock is going to go where it can go.
Yeah.
But I think, and I think, you know, everyone's kind of brought that up too, is like, I know that for some places, like in the North, they won't be distributing here kind of maybe until that's figured out. I mean, so I don't know, like we probably won't name which ones, but I know there's at least a couple of things we've been getting here pretty regularly that may not be coming down for the foreseeable. So
totally, like it'd be up to them personally or their distributor to register their products for them. But again, like this whole 6 week lead time, like it takes away like spontaneity. And like, look, sometimes people have beer left over, they don't sell what they intend to sell, and you go, hey Germany, like got a bit of this, like that can't happen here because like, or sometimes you forecast, right, market one is going to take 2 pallets, market two is going to take 3 pallets, but in the end they both take 2. Okay, now you've got an extra pallet, but if I've not registered that product in Ireland and it's already been on the shelf for 3 or 4 weeks, I can't wait 6 weeks for that product to be registered. Like, we're just not going to get that stuff. And in terms of the barcoding and labeling, like we could do a separate barcode and a separate label for Ireland, sure, but like the flexibility, like the market is way too volatile, we're way too small for that. We also can't be changing reels of labels midway through a run. Like to, and then our warehouse, I don't know, I think you guys have probably seen it or been in it, like we have storage, we have enough storage, but we don't have enough storage to be like, this is the Irish product, like don't mix those up. Oh my god, we sent the wrong, like we just have to have one label. We can't manage that, you know. We will be compliant and we're all for the scheme, but like there's realities in terms of how we manage it. And like I'm grateful the concessions that have been made, but they've been made after lobbying, phone calls, unresponded emails for nearly a year to get to this point. Like, we were not consulted.
Right.
I don't know a small business who was. The information on their website freely available for their leadership members, like Coca-Cola, Heineken, Diageo, Tesco.
Right. Oh, it's always the way. Yeah. Your stakeholders are these people, but the people who actually have to implement are these people, and there's a much larger group, but these voices were louder. So change management, people, start early. Sorry.
And like we need those, their experience, and like these people are whoever experienced in corporate governance, and it's essential for a scheme like this. But like there's just no representation for a business of our size, and I'm sure from previous size as well. Like, you are a retailer. It doesn't matter how big you are. You're still a retailer. Like, you deserve to be consulted. And like, you shouldn't have to be a paying member of a group or a lobbying group to have your voice heard. Like, I was at back in June, I think it was, a workshop held by DRS. And I said to them on the day, I was like, just for your sake, I'm looking around the room, I don't see any of my colleagues in the industry here. Right. That's a worry for me. I was like, I'm not responsible for them, but I'm telling you, they're not here. That's a worry for me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Nothing happened.
I'm sure someone with a clipboard took that on board and nodded and was like,
definitely.
Yes.
Yeah.
For us, we're a member of NOFLA, which is the National Off License Association.
Brilliant.
Along with lots of other kind of small off licenses. And we've been very lucky that they have been really, really helpful in kind of trying to kind of to make sure that the small off license retailers, that our voices are being heard. And I think it did take a little bit of persistence to get some engagement that kind of in a way that I think everyone was happy with. But yes, thank God you shouldn't have to be part of a group to kind of get that. But we were very lucky, and I know some other small retailers were very lucky as well.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I mentioned the reverse vending machines, and I think we kind of talked about cash flow and stuff. But one of the things that I know 99% of people are sound and they're nice to retail staff, but in the coming weeks, this is the time to be like, these people are stressed. They're trying to figure out themselves. And we're trying to figure out how to understand. So we're trying to figure out how to understand it. We're trying to figure out a way to explain it to our staff in a way that's not overly complicated. So the people who are actually serving you, or who will be serving you in the coming weeks, they're probably like, ah, here, lads, I don't know either. Don't be yelling at me about this.
Yeah. Put the thing in the thing.
Yes. Yeah, and we're going to try our best. We'll figure this out. But yes, sorry. So with the just talking about kind of cash flow, we were lucky because of our size, we got the exemption for what is returned, or what's referred to as the take back. So we don't have to take back the cans. We don't have to take the machines, the reverse vending machines. So we have two off license, two physical stores, and it was looking like it would be, I think it was somewhere, depending on kind of the brand of the machine, it was looking to be somewhere between like 8 and 14 grand per machine.
Oh, wow.
We potentially would have had to have two of them. So from a cash flow perspective, we were like, oh my God, where the hell? Like,
sure.
The banks were like, excuse me, what is this for?
What?
Cash flow, it's like the footprint as well. They're big.
The retailer and in reality, it's the staff on the ground. So it'll be, you know, the people serving at the till, like the staff in, you know, Aldi, Lidl, Tesco, Dunnes, who are already running around doing a million things, that have to keep it clean, have to, like, if something goes wrong, they have to, like, kind of figure out how to get it up and running. And obviously, if that doesn't work, then you get back onto the manufacturer. But they're the people responsible for the day-to-day maintenance, which means that the retailer has to pay the staff to do that, and maybe potentially has to have another staff member to do that. And like, how many of us have been to the bottle bank come say the 4th of January?
Machines can get full.
Yeah,
exactly. Trying to plan for, you know, oh God, actually, is it one machine we need? Do we need two? And then with the having to fund the point of sale upgrade as well, I'm not gonna name the retailer, but when they spoke to their point of sale provider, who I think they had spoken to about this implementation previously, the provider was like, "What are you talking about?" So they hadn't even started the process of upgrading the system. So they suddenly went, no, lads, we legally have to do this in like...
This is not a choice.
Right.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, and just, I don't know, for anyone who works in retail probably knows how antiquated all these systems are, even if they're like the newest model. But so I think what I'm trying to say is, from that perspective, be as supportive as you can to small retailers, but also be really nice to the staff. They're trying their best. And if the machine doesn't work, they probably don't know. They're gonna try and help you figure it out.
So a shout out to all our listeners.
Yeah.
Be nice. If you see somebody abusing staff or a machine or something, just say, look, this is a transition period. We're all getting used to
We're all figuring this out together.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. It's not their fault. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, absolutely. And maybe on that note too, maybe we can address a little bit the communications that either have or haven't gone out. And I think I know I'll just speak for myself saying I've only heard what people have told me directly. I've seen nothing in my Instagram feed. I've seen nothing, you know, even in my boomer social media, nothing on Facebook, you know, I guess what I'm saying is like, not that I'm special, but the information is not going where I'm going. So I guess, where is it going? And especially thinking, you know, cans, like I'm sure plenty of young people are going to be buying cans and they're not necessarily watching television or reading a newspaper. So how are they being told about the scheme? Do we have any insights into that?
I've been served a little bit of paid Instagram content. I've heard the really cringy radio ad.
Cringy radio, yes, I love it.
Radio, which isn't completely correct.
Yeah.
It says all retailers take it back, which is, as we discussed,
not true. Not necessarily true. That's meant to be a problem for you.
Yes, I know,
I think I think it'll be at the till, as you say, like that's what
it'll be learning by doing.
Find out about it. Yeah.
Right. What better way to learn than by doing? There we go. Yeah.
As consumers in the next, so between the 1st of February to the end of May, I am a divil for Diet Coke, or sorry, Coke Zero. Love it.
Love a Coke Zero.
I do. Mm-hmm. But like we all do it, or maybe we don't all do it, but lots of us will, kind of buy drinks like that. And you know, like when you open it, there's not a barcode on it because it says do not resell part of a multi-pack. So those products that are part of a multi-pack but don't have individual barcodes yet, the deposit doesn't apply to them yet.
Okay.
Just to add another level of confusion.
Okay.
I know, Katie, you look like you're about to cry.
Yeah.
I just think I need another drink and I have to get up for work in the morning.
Right. Enjoy the feeling. But yes, what's likely going to happen is that if there's still kind of stock like that hanging around for the kind of consumption through rate of Coke is probably quite high, and the same for your Guinness and your Heineken and kind of Coors, Carlsberg, that kind of thing, that if they are still kind of hanging around come May time, they'll probably, the big companies can just like relabel them,
right?
So it shouldn't be so bad, but it is a bit confusing if, say, you have, you're buying two slabs of, two slabs of Coke, and one has the multi-pack barcode, and then, or one lot of them has the multi-pack barcode, and then the other one doesn't. So you won't have to pay the 15 cent by 24 cans for one slab, but you do for the other.
You need to remember which one you're putting in which bin then.
Exactly. And
right.
I think it'll probably potentially, in Ireland, so things like we don't really have that many over the 500 ml counts in Ireland. Some of the exemptions will be like kind of Guinness, Smithwick, a couple of those kind of brands. But that's a bit of a shock when you're suddenly paying 25 cent per can, but then you're suddenly paying 24 of them. You're like, where is this? I don't know, is it 380?
Some of the bulky sklets have the 660 ml can, don't they?
Yeah.
I do know this. From research.
Research.
I even think that although I don't know if you can get them anymore because maybe they were Russian, you can get a liter can.
Yeah.
But this, like, because this applies to plastic bottles as well. So, your sparkling water.
Right. Yeah.
So it'll be interesting to see one, how people react at the till. So that's where I'm like, be nice to everyone.
Yes, please. Yeah.
But also, like, will our behavior change around what we're purchasing? Like, will our will we stop buying, say, 2 liter bottles of water and instead go for like the 5 liter one because that's over 3 liters that's exempt?
It will depend if you have a car waiting outside or if you're watching them and you're going.
Probably a very good point. I know things like some of the size bottles, like if you have your 7-Up and your Cokes are generally kind of 175. or yeah, they're now kind of being phased out for the 2 liter because it's kind of more bang for your buck, because it's
right,
that's like, okay, the 25 cent. So yeah, I think we'll see a lot of changes in our drinks containers. Be interesting.
So the shrinkflation is going backwards, but the prices are gonna probably inflate along with the deposit, and they'll just blame the deposit return scheme or something like that.
Yeah,
and I know. People will be getting away with murder on this. whatever. Like,
and I think we want to say that some of the guidelines are still in flux, and they may have changed by the time this airs. Yeah. And we just wanted to say that there are guidelines, but there may be some changes.
There's one particular change that is not coming in, and we won't see it. But something I did want to mention, just from the small producer point of view, alcohol brands are required to list the ABV of all their products that they submit for no apparent reason. I've asked what the data is for. Like, it's my information of our product. Like, it's available on our website, obviously, but we have to, when we do the product upload, we have to put in the ABV. And I didn't fill it in the first time. I said, oh, you forgot the ABV. I was like, well, why do you need it? They said, oh, it's mandatory. I was like, sure, but why?
Yeah.
Because this, no one's gonna be able to see the information by individual brand, by SKU. Like, that's not involved, whatever, fine. Like, that information will be tight within DRS, sure. But they have access to statistics on how more 4.5% cans were recycled than 8% cans. That maybe that shows that 4.5% is more popular beer. That's interesting information if you make beer. Of absolute no value to the scheme.
I have my GDPR guidelines here in front of me.
I would love to borrow that off you.
Which I reference every... I work in data, so...
Yeah.
Have a reason. There needs to be a reason to collect data.
And yeah, they're collecting data and holding data.
That they need.
One of the reasons
that is essential for the task.
Yeah, one of the reasons they came back to me was that so that if they needed it in the future, they didn't have to ask me again. I was like, no, you can ask me again. It's fine. I have all day to talk about this. Or if they noticed that a certain product had a lower recycling rate than another, they could do targeted campaigns.
Interesting.
Okay.
Huh. How are you going to target 8% drinkers versus 6% drinkers or 2% drinkers? It's absolute nonsense.
I mean, because it's evidence of absence is not, or absence of evidence is not evidence of absence. We don't know why. Like,
they don't ask for how much caffeine's in the coffee products, or how much, or like in caffeinated products. And they also want the reports per month by SKU barcode. Now, that's information they can get from the RVMs.
Okay.
I would say,
what's an RVM?
The reverse vending machine.
Okay.
So those machines will be able to spit out at the end of the month how many of every SKU it took back, right? Fine. But we have to forecast per SKU how many products, and then the following month rationalize that with how many we did sell.
Oh, gosh. Oh, not, that's confusing.
I'm happy to give that information, like, per can type. Say we sold 100 330ml cans and 100 440ml cans. So to want it by line item, again, I was like, I don't understand how that's relevant to the scheme. Completely brushed off. That won't be changing. But like, this is like real stuff that we've gone back to query. And like, we're fully registered. We will be ready for February 1st. Our cans will have logos. Our website will be fully compliant. And we've done all this because it's mandatory and we want to do it. Like, it's a very important scheme. And it's going to be life-changing. This is a huge, huge social change for people. And it's really, really important. But like, you can't discount like the information that's been handed over to these people.
Yeah.
No, and the money, like, you can monetize that data very, very quickly.
Yeah.
And data brokers are real.
Absolutely. So many
companies' whole model is based on data brokering, you know. Mm-hmm. It's like, it's free.
They also own the cans that get recycled.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, interesting.
That would be reprocessed for sale.
And sure.
Producers, as part of the scheme, will have first refusal on the repurchase of that, which is great. At market rate. Fine.
Right.
Stainless steel is quite a commodity. It's quite expensive. So I'm assuming they're going to use that money to fund the scheme, which is good because they need to be picked up. People need to do admin. I totally understand that.
Absolutely.
But we're also paying a registration fee. We're paying a placement fee. You know, there's money going around here. And like their website currently still says that we hope to appoint like the collecting and processing company by the end of the year, like last year.
Right.
That's not updated yet. Like that's actually quite important information.
Yeah, if that's going to be starting, you know, in a week's time, effectively, like who's doing that? Yeah, somebody's got to be going to all those machines and doing the collection. So
yeah, I assume they've been tendered and appointed.
Yeah,
like but yeah, I would think that's quite important information for. You want to know if who's coming to your shop to pick up your cans?
Yeah, and definitely, like having been sort of inside some of the tendering process for a government agency or say government body in Ireland, it's slow. So, I mean, it's slow everywhere, but I feel like it's really slow. Like there's a lot of hoops to jump through. So
yeah, I can only imagine.
As a public servant in Ireland, I can say it's so slow.
Oh God. It's so so much to look forward to.
But anyway, look, I think I need another drink. So, does anyone have any finishing up statements or anything that they'd like to add,
or any good bullet points? I think things we need to keep in mind, like we know, don't crush the cans. This is very important. Yes.
Yeah. Sorry, actually, just before we finish, I'd like to because we have until the 31st of May to kind of sell through these kind of unlogoed cans, because of minimum unit pricing, at no point can a retailer sell off any of that stock because it's not considered legal. And some suppliers, kind of understandably, won't take the stock back. Like some of the bigger guys or the bigger companies might like to take it back and maybe kind of, you know, relabel them or whatever. But yeah, so help your local offie out by buying up as many cans.
Oh God, no, that's huge. Yes. Yes. Cans for the cause. Buy local, shop local, you know, get some local beers.
Yes.
Yes. So that we can see more of them. But don't crush the cans.
Don't crush the cans. If you get a can with no logo, but you were charged a deposit, you will get your deposit back. It's all about the barcode. It will all be about the logo from June onwards. Absolutely everything, but there will be a little period where both are in use, logo and no logo. So if you do get charged it, you will get your money back.
And I kind of, on that note, I'm one of these people who hates taking receipts. But if in doubt, take your receipt because that's proof that you paid for it. So if there's never an issue getting your deposit back, be the receipt person.
Yeah.
Your mommy was right, keep the receipts.
I have to tell my children now to keep their receipts. This is not going to go down well. They're very Gen Z or whatever the one after is. I don't know.
Yeah.
Okay.
Take a picture and store it on their phone every time you buy a bottle of Monster
that's what I do.
I store this on my Steam Deck. They'll be like, what the hell is this?
I don't
do
even
with
know
anything?
What that means.
Life. It's a portable gaming thing.
It's a thing.
Threads
is pushing it for me, you know?
It's like a Switch.
Okay.
All right.
You can tell me later.
We'll figure it out. So final thoughts and, you know, again, don't crush the cans. Keep your receipts in the short term if you're buying like for a big party or something like that. Buy local, shop local. You probably need to restock after the holidays anyway, folks. Go and make sure the fridge is full again.
Exactly.
Yeah,
you have a few days before this deposit comes in, guys. Yeah, and if other countries can do it, we can do it.
Absolutely.
Yes. I might have to take a little drive out to Carroll Town.
Here. Oh, brilliant. Well, first of all, you know, thank you both for coming on. Obviously, thank you, Katie, always. But thank you, Cuiva. Thank you, Leah. And, you know, so folks go, you know, go buy some stuff from the crew, get some whiplash. You know, again, get all your favorite, like, you know, local stuff. You know, try to help this inventory move along. But again, don't crush the cans. You know, as more information comes in, or yes, more bottles, yes. As more information comes in, try to pay attention. I know these things are going to be evolving for a while. And again, as we said at the beginning, folks from other countries where this has happened for a long time, like if there's some obvious thing we're all missing here, just be like, look, you know, this. We would love to hear it because, again, everyone is very much in favor of this happening. Mm-hmm. It's just the how. So we definitely would love some pro tips from anyone because we know that this can be done. We just need to get there. So on that note, you know, you can find us on all of our socials. We're not really on Twitter X anymore because of reasons, but you can find us on Threads. You can find us on Instagram. You can find us on Blue Sky. We're eventually going to record a whole new outro for that to say so, but you know, these things take time. So thank you again, everyone. And we'll see you again soon. Bye.
Thank you.
Bye. Thank you. Bye.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at hellofresh.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.